We come to series three, the three aspects of the Lord's recovery. In the previous two messages, we have seen that the first aspect is God's revelation. The second is the garment living. The third is the practice of the church. I will first say this. This time, the outline is from the 1995, the Chinese New Year conference. These outlines are from Brother Witness Lee on the three aspects of the Lord's recovery. Usually, Brother Lee spent much time in composing the outline. There's no wasted words. Everything is after much consideration. You know, 1995, Brother Lee went to build the Lord in 1997. So 95 was very much toward the end of his ministry. He's wrote upon these three aspects of the Lord's recovery. I hope that we, brothers and sisters, we all will be clear what are the three aspects. First, again, we must know God's revelation. Of course, God's revelation is God speaking, is the divine revelation. Second aspect is the God-man living. Third aspect is the practice of the church. Every outline are concise. When speaking of God's revelation, the brothers want us to remember 6 points. First, God's eternal economy. Second, the divine Trinity. Third, the all-inclusive Christ, his person and his work. Number four, that Christ becoming the consummated spirit. Fifth, the eternal life. Sixth, the body of Christ to be his church. So I hope that this training, brothers and sisters, will help us to be very clear about this, remember these six aspects. After the church's degradation, there was over 1,000 years of dark age. After the 16th century, the Reformation, God speaking and God's revelation had a slow progression of being recovered. Then when it comes to 19th century, the Brethren recovered the fundamental, the basic truths at that time in a drastic way. But concerning the deeper truths, the more intrinsic truths, it was truly through Watchman Nee, standing on the shoulder, on the foundation of the predecessors, that the Lord recovered those deeper truths. Then 1949, Brother Lee was sent by Brother Nee to Taiwan. He stood on the foundation of Brother Nee to went on further. Brother, sister, you need to know that 1974, Brother Lee was about 70 years. He was born in 1905. He was 70 years old already, 1974. He began the life studies. I can testify, in 1950s and afterwards, there is not a weighty spiritual exposition of the Bible. After 1950, it's hard to find one. Brother Lee said he didn't know why. It seems God speaking is now only in the Lord's recovery. Actually, we can understand this because in 1930s, the late 1930s and the early 1940s, Brother Nee saw the body of Christ. Consider this. If a person is not one with the body of Christ, he did not know the body of Christ, did not know that the church is the body of Christ, how can he have further light from the Lord? Because the divine revelation has come to the point of the body of Christ. If you are in divisive groups, if you are in Christianity, if you don't see the body, how can you go on? How can you go on? So 1980s, Brother Lee himself said, he said he stood on the, he went on from Brother Nee saw concerning the body of Christ. That is, he saw the divine dispensing. Only through the divine dispensing can the body of Christ be produced. Then Brother Lee went on to sow God's economy. Then from then on, he went on all the way until he was taken by the Lord. Eventually, he saw God's economy is just God become man, so that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. For the building up the body of Christ, consummating the new Jerusalem. Here he says, this is his ministry. The new Jerusalem is his ministry. The new Jerusalem is his unique message, his unique ministry. So the revelation in the Lord's recovery reached the peak then. When Brother Lee reached the peak, he gave that 6 points of the God's revelation. I tell you again, that is too crucial. From 1974, he was 70 years old. Whether in East or West, not one person in the knowledge of the Bible can reach that degree of what Brother Lee has seen. When he began the life studies, you know, that was just not a small thing. So brothers and sisters, we really need a treasure. Get into the life studies so we can be constituted by the divine truth. This is the first aspect of the Lord's recovery, which is concerning God's revelation, God speaking. Second aspect is concerning the God-man living. Consider, what is Christian life? People's understanding are short. Nobody ever seen that the Christian life is the God-man living. In the Middle Ages, they thought it should go to monastery. They should go to monastery. You know, it's like the Buddhism, the monks, the nuns. It's very similar. They thought they should go to the mountain, should go away. That is absurd. And you study history, no one really understands what the Christian life is. You know, we are standing upon the shoulder of the past. Brother Lee went on higher and higher from 50 to 60. Eventually, he spoke, it is the God-man living. This is the Lord's recovery today. So, brother and sister, we must know the second great item of Lord's recovery is the God-man living. We must exercise, practice the God-man living so that God's economy can be fulfilled. And third, the third aspect is the practice of the church. Concerning the practice of the church, you may see that in the last 2,000 years, except the early apostles, at that time, the early church was okay. It was relatively normal. But because of the persecution of the Roman Empire, it was hard for the saints to have a freedom, to have the normal church life. They were all in hiding. They were running away. They were in the tomb, in undergrounds, in caves. They were all hiding. Then in 300 AD, Constantine rose up. He treated Christianity well. Now the Christianity became a great tree, as we saw in Matthew 13. Then Catholicism was formed in 590 AD, and he brought many leavens into Christianity. Many leavens were brought into the church. Even the Pope became infallible. Whatever Pope said would stand. That became the Roman Catholic Church. That's the great harlot in the Bible. That is altogether offensive to God. And that lasted for 1,000 years until 16th century when Martin Luther brought in the Reformation. But after Reformation, concerning the church practice, there was still no clear light. They only saw that the Catholicism is wrong, but they do not have the proper light to see what is right. But gradually, the church, the truth will recover. Justification by faith was recovered. But it produced the Lutheran, then the baptism produced the Baptist, Then Presbytery produced the Presbyterian Church, and some churches are named after some spiritual giant like Wesleyan or other people, Calvinism. There are many free groups also. So what is the church? How should the church be practiced? There was no clear light. Then when you come to the brethren, they had a little progress. But one person, Long, G.H. Long, he wrote a book called The Churches of God. In that book, he said the church should be altogether autonomous, independent. I can tell you, they did not see the clear light concerning the church. So when you come to Watchman Nee, the Lord raising up to speak first on the ground of the church. So today, the message we're pursuing today, we can say, has passed through history and has been recovered through the study of the Bible. Even among us, there were some problems in the past, but the Lord, through the many things, this truth become clearer and clearer among us. Now the truth is, the outline right here is written by Brother Lee in 1995. I hope you'll be very clear about the truth concerning the church. I hope we can memorize these points. This time we ask you to memorize many things. This is worthwhile. Memorize this truth. 1925, Brother Lee said, if it's something is from the Bible, we will not be afraid to preach it, even if people oppose. But if it's not the Bible, then even people regard it, welcome it, we will not agree with it. So here, the truth here is altogether according to the Bible. And it also has passed through much history. The servant of the Lord has restudy this matter again and again and present them as the outline point right here. So message three, there are 7 points here concerning the practice of church. There are 7 points here. Actually, at that time, Brother Lee only gave us the outline. But actually, this is our Brother Lee's messages. Actually, he spoke these outlines. He spoke this outline. These outlines are from his message. So we should just read this outline. Romans 1. At the time, Brother Lee said, the church is the universal body of Christ, is the universal house of God and the kingdom of God. Then appearing in the various cities as local churches. Point B, that's the original outline. Just continue with appearing in various city. And point three, the local churches in the various localities are scattered in different places by geography, yet they are not divided by any doctrinal matter. Point D, the unique church of God is expressed as many local churches throughout the whole globe, yet they are still the unique universal body of Christ and should not be divided into sects or denominations. Point E, among the churches, they are the apostles who set up the churches, and in every church, they are also elders who manage the church and deacons who serve the church. However, besides the order of these holy services, there should not be any hierarchy, religious organization, or system of rank. F. Although the local churches in various localities are many, they all take the eternal economy of God as their center to bear the unique testimony of Christ, not teaching any doctrine that is unrelated to the eternal economy of God and that has nothing to do with the testimony of Christ. G, in these local churches, there should be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit as a reality of the kingdom of God. So, Brother Lee gave us these 7 points, A, B, C, all the way to G. We should memorize these 7 points. Okay, now let's look at them in detail. I may read directly from Brother Lee's message. I already said that day, his message was short, But all the contents have all now become the 1, 2, 3, 4 now. Actually, all the outline point here is from his speaking here. He's speaking. So we're going to read through what Brother Lee said, so we won't be off. First, the church as the universal body of Christ is the universal house of God and also the kingdom of God. One, the body of Christ is an organism constitutive of all the regenerated believers for the expression and activities of the head. It is the issue of the incarnated, crucified, resurrected, and ascended Christ who has come into the church. By means of the ascended Christ's heavenly transmission, we are made one with him, and thus his body is produced. But Lee here pointed out that the body of Christ, the church is the body of Christ. And how is the body of Christ produced? It's mainly according to Ephesians 1. The body of Christ is produced by the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity. We see Ephesians 1, we see first the Father dispensing, and then we see the Son's dispensing, and then we saw the Holy Spirit's dispensing. Then in the later half of Ephesians 1, we see the ascended Christ, his transmission. So the body of Christ is the issue of that divine dispensing of the divine Trinity plus the transmission of the ascended Christ. That's how the body of Christ is produced. So the body of Christ is an organism. Organism. I hope you brothers and sisters will all learn to say this. The body of Christ is the organism of the process and consummated triune God. If you have this understanding of the church, then you will see if our church is the organization, then it's wrong. If our church become organizational, it's wrong. If there is some authority, some rank, hierarchical rank, then it's wrong. The church should be an organism. Should be an organism. So what is the church? We need to be clear. If you are not clear, if not accurate, then your practice will be wrong. Your practice will be off. So first is on the body of Christ. Point two, God's house is a matter of life and enjoyment. All believers are born of God into his house to enjoy his riches. God's kingdom is a matter of right and responsibility. All believers born into the house of God have the civil rights of and obligations in the kingdom of God. The church as the body of Christ is to Christ. To Christ is his body, but to God is his house and his kingdom. The church is God's house because we are born into that house. We are brothers and sisters in God's house. We are God's children. So we don't have hierarchy. Actually, we are all children of God, right? Amen. Then it is also the kingdom of God. It's a matter of right and obligations, responsibility. So we all have the civil rights of obligations. Point three, the saints are individuals, the house of God's corporate, and issues in the kingdom of God. Four, these three, the body of Christ, the house of God, and the kingdom of God are just one. The body of Christ is the house of God, and the house of God is the kingdom of God. The three cannot be separated. The body of Christ is the house of God. The house of God is the kingdom of God. Now we come to point B. The universal body of Christ is the house of God, that is the kingdom of God, appearing in various cities. Please circle the word appearing in various cities as local churches, with one city having only one church in order to keep the oneness and prevent division. I first ask you a question. If I remember right, in 1986, around that time, Brother Lee in Taipei, he set up many young elders. He called them baby elders. So for the sake of the baby elders, he had many trainings. And in one training, he asked everyone a question. Brother, so-and-so, will ask you, Brother Fu Qiang, ask you to answer. What is your church? What is your church? He said, you cannot say this. Church is church. Church has no other name. The moon is a moon. The moon has no other name. Do you understand? How many moons? One moon. Moon has no other names, no other designations. So why ask you to pay attention to this? Here said appearing in the body of Christ, appearing in various cities as local churches. The house of God, the kingdom of God, appearing in. Yes, you have your local church, but your local church is the one body of Christ, is that body appearing. It's just the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. It's the church. The church is the church. There's no other names. The church is just the church. Point one, Deuteronomy 12, 5 to 18 clearly tells us that when the Israelites arrived in the good land, they could not choose a place of worship as they liked. They needed to go to the place where God had placed his name, which was the place where God would build his dwelling place. In the Old Testament, God chose Jerusalem. Let me finish reading this. Hence, although the 12 tribes of Israel were scattered throughout the land of Israel, all their males had to go up to Jerusalem 3 times a year to worship God there. No one dared to set up another worship center beside Jerusalem. B. Later, Jeroboam rebelled. He set up Dan in the north and Bethel as worship center and thus was cursed and punished by God. Please pay attention. He was cursed and punished by God, with the result that all the kings of the kingdom of Israel were rejected by God and excluded from the record of Second Chronicles. I will point out that after Solomon, Israel was divided. The northern kingdom began from Jeroboam, that's Israel, and the northern kingdom came from Rehoboam, that's the Judah, kingdom of Judah. The king Jeroboam, he was afraid that the southern people would come to Jerusalem, that will go to Jerusalem, they will go to Judah. So for this purpose, he set up a worship center between Dan and Bethel. This was greatly. This is a greatly offended the principle that God's people should be one. So Dan was cursed and punished by God. Then the Israel kings after him, for 300 years, all the kings in the northern kingdom, when they die, the Bible always said, they did not depart from the sin that they caused Israelites who fell by Jeroboam. All the kings follow Jeroboam in setting up the divisive worship center in Dan and Bethel. This is great offense to God. So in the record of Chronicles, only the kings of Judah were recorded. The kings of the northern kingdom were not recorded. Now we go on. Point two. Today, the practice of the church that God desires is the same as this in principle. That is one city having only one church for the keeping of the oneness. A, one cannot say that he is not satisfied with a church in a certain locality and then start another meeting on the next street with a few of his more intimate brothers. B, because Christianity is not willing to be restricted by one city having only one church, today's situation has become confused and divided. You know, so in the Bible, one city should have only one church. Only one church. For example, in Revelation, the Lord wrote epistles to seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. He wrote to the cities. When he wrote to the seven churches, but the epistles, letters were addressed to seven cities. Then from 2:1 and chapter 3, he went on to say he wrote to the church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, the church in so and so. So each city has only one church. You cannot have more than one church in one locality. You cannot have many churches to be combined to become one church. One city should have only one church. I hope that this will be clear. We will pay attention to this. Point C. The local churches in the various localities are scattered in different places by geography, yet they are not divided by any doctrine or matter. For example, here we're in Anaheim, the church in Anaheim. Nearby we have what? The church in Fullerton. Although they are separated by geography, although there are two churches separate because of geography, but they cannot be divided. In other words, the church in Fullerton and the church in Anaheim cannot be separated, cannot be divided. So no church can be autonomous. Here, Brother Lee says, some people suggest that the local churches should be autonomous and that the churches should be independent. However, to be autonomous is the biggest division. It's the biggest division. Do not consider the church can be autonomous. Furthermore, some said that although the Bible speaks of the apostles setting up churches and appointing elders after a church is established and the elders are appointed, the apostles should take their hands off. However, the Bible clearly shows us that after Paul established the church in Ephesus, he continued to visit them and wrote letters to that church to care for them, right? Eventually, Paul, in his third journey, he came to Miletus. He invited elders from Ephesus to come, and he told them, you should remember how for 3 years I was among you, whether in public or from house to house, how I exhorted you with tears. He would say, remember how for 3 years I was among you. Did he continue to shepherd the elders in Ephesus? Yes, he shepherded the elders continually after setting up the church. So do not think the apostle should just take the hands off after establishing the churches. Yes, they should let the elders, local elders, to shepherd the church. Yes. So we should not be divided by geography, but we shouldn't be divided by doctrine or matter. Our brother will continue the rest.
I truly thank the Lord to have this training this time, that we can hear the Lord speaking. In Anaheim, the morning revival that we are on right now, we are going over the International Chinese Speaking Conference. And as we are reviewing these words, I feel these words should affect all of us. What was fellowshipped in this conference is the matter of making ourselves ready for the Lord's coming. When we hear these words, we should have a feeling inwardly that we need to be made ready. We need to be prepared. So when we come to this training, we can keep opening ourselves to the Lord. Although many of these words I've heard, I've read so many times, But I keep praying to the Lord. Don't let these things that I think I already know, oh, cause me to not be open to the Lord. In these past few days, there's a few verses that have helped me a lot. From the morning until now, I've been praying into these. 1 Peter 1:19. It's not 1 Peter. This is Second Peter 1:19, and we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and a morning star rises in your heart. When Peter here talks about the morning star, on one hand, there's two aspects. One aspect is when the Lord comes in his second coming, he will appear secretly to those who love him. But it's not just at the Lord's coming. Today, we should come before the Lord. Brother Lee says that in our, we can have the morning star rise in our hearts daily. And then there's another verse, 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. And not only me, but also all those who have loved his appearing. Loved his appearing. Those who have loved his appearing. May these verses, these words, continue to speak within our being. We've covered a lot in this training, but we need to come back before the Lord again and again to let him speak to us day by day. This morning, before I got here, I went into today's morning revival. And there was a verse in 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. I don't know if we like to read this word or not, but this is also the word in the Bible. If you don't love the Lord, this is being accursed. And then at the end it says, the Lord comes. So we need to keep coming before the Lord, allowing him to appear to us so that he will come to us day by day so that we can be prepared. We can be made ready. Thank and praise the Lord. So in this training, like Brother Lin said, this was spoken in 95, the matter of the three aspects of the Lord's recovery. May we have this hope that we will really enter into this and have this speak in our being. So the first talks about how we need revelation. If we say that we are the Lord's recovery, we need to know what is the Lord's recovery. I remember many years ago, we had an older brother. Now he's 98 years old, Brother Liu Sui. He invited me to fly with him to another country. And to fly there, it took 10 plus hours. And then he said, we need to fly there together. We need to fellowship with one brother, not with a group of people, but one brother. This brother was a co-worker and he was also an elder. And when I went there, I was kind of in fear of what our brother Liu was going to fellowship. So they talked here and there. And then suddenly he asked this brother, are you in the Lord's recovery? Are you in the Lord's recovery? This brother thought about this. He was born in the Lord's recovery, grew up in the Lord's recovery. And now he's an elder. He's a co-worker. And he thought about this, but he also wasn't willing to answer either. Today, we need to ask ourselves this question. So I feel Brother Liu inviting me there was not only going to trying to say this to the brother, but also even to ask me this question. Are you in the Lord's recovery? Because I was also born in the Lord's recovery. Before I was born, my mother and father were already in the Lord's recovery and went through many years of the church life. So after he asked this, I remember this question. And so from 1995, these messages, we need to take heed. If we say that we are in the Lord's recovery, this is not a phrase, a name. It's not like we take down this sign, a Baptist church, and we put on the Lord's recovery name. We need to see, what is the Lord recovering? We are recovering the revelation that the Lord wants to give to us, the revelation of the church. So we need to start from God's economy all the way until the building up of the body, which consummates into the new Jerusalem. So this is a long process. May the Lord have mercy on us to allow us to see this. So in the past, when I read 2 Peter 1:19, I only saw that this was in the Lord's second coming, the morning star would rise. So I would keep hoping that I would be an overcomer so that when the morning star rises, I would see it. But Brother Lee said a lot. This is what we want to gain day by day. Even today, we want the appearing of the morning star so that in that day, we will see the morning star's appearance. Here, it also says that we need to be made ready. In order to be made ready, we need to be soaked in the Word of God. Through the life studies, we can understand what is the Bible saying. If we don't understand what the Bible is saying, it's hard for us to remember what the Bible says. So the life study, it helps us realize and know what the Bible is saying. We have to see that in Christianity, there's many people who are reading the Bible, but after reading it, each one has their own interpretation. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Every time we come to the Word, may we use our spirit, exercise our spirit. Our spirit isn't just our spirit. It is the spirit mingled with our spirit now sevenfold intensified. Now we need to use the spirit so that we can understand what the Word of God is saying to us. So when we come to life study, we need to ask the Lord for mercy so that we wouldn't come to it with our natural thoughts, our natural understanding to understand what the Word says. So there's just like someone fellowship, we can read through the life study, but not gain too much. So here's a word over here. When we talk about the prophets are the Bible. But Brother Lee also says, please listen. The prophetic word. The prophetic word is not the star. The Bible is not the star. When I read through this, several times, and I even underlined it. What is Brother Lee saying here? The prophetic word is not the star. The Bible is not the star. Because we have the prophetic word. If we come to the prophetic word, we need to allow the prophetic word to become the morning star in us. And we do that by giving heed. We need to wholeheartedly enter into this, give heed to this until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our heart. May we be fully occupied by this word. And then when we come to the word, every time we come to the word, when we say that we come to the morning revival, may there be the star appearing to us. So may the Lord truly have mercy on us. There's a lot here, but maybe we don't have enough time to get into this. Thank and praise the Lord. Brother Liu Sui, at that time, his fellowship really helped me a lot. Today, we say we are in the Lord's recovery. But may we all have this hope. The Lord's recovery is not a temporary thing. It's not something that appears and disappears, because this has happened in the past before. In the time of Zinzendorf, it felt very high, but over a period of time, it disappeared. Then the brethren were also high for a period of time. And Brother Ni even said that they were Philadelphia. But over time, they became Laodicea. So before the Lord went, before Brother Li went to be with the Lord, he said what he feared the most is that we would become Laodicea, neither hot nor cold. So may the Lord have mercy on us. That we would allow the Lord to work himself into us. One time, Brother Liu Sui also fellowshipped another point. He took me to do climb a mountain. And when we were on the mountain, he sat me down. And he said, this time, when we are climbing the mountain, we are bringing food in our backpack, in our bag. He said, we put food in our bag. If the food is just in our bag, it becomes a burden, a heavy burden to us. But if you take out this food and you eat it, it becomes your power, your strength. So since that time, I haven't brought a backpack with me. I eat first and then I speak. So today, this is our need as well. When we talk about praying the word and calling on the Lord's name, These are two important practices in the Lord's recovery. But if we look at the chronology, in 1966, this was in Tainan, they discovered the matter of pray reading the word. Because at that time, Taiwan had gone through some turmoils. And when the brothers came together, these are elders. They didn't even know how to pray. And so one brother said, since we don't know how to pray, shouldn't we open the word? Let's read it together. And then we pray what the words that the Lord has spoken back to him. And here, there was a great discovery. So we told Brother Li, and at the time, Brother Li was in Los Angeles. And Brother Li said, wow, this is so good. So today, in order to have the practice of the church, we need to have pray reading. We need to pray and read, read and pray. And through prayer, we pray these words into our being. When we enter into these outlines, we also need to have a praying spirit to read this word, to pray this word into our being. Then in 1968, there was another discovery of calling on the name of the Lord. Brother Li said he was about to give a message in Los Angeles. And he was going to share on how we can all enter, we can all function. And he was thinking, what can we say? We can say, oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Calling on the Lord's name really saved our life. In 1968, I almost left the church, the Lord's recovery. I was wondering what our parents have taught us. Is this real or is this fake? I might have been brainwashed. So I started to think maybe I should go in the direction of the current of this age. Maybe study well and then find a good job. But the brothers, when they came, they kept on fellowshipping this matter. And when we practiced this, we had a feeling, oh, our Lord is both real and genuine. The longest I've called on the Lord's name is for 7 hours. This is so good. By this time, oh, by the end, you are besides yourself. Do you know why 7 hours? At that time, I was living in Northern California. And to get from Northern California to Los Angeles, it takes 7 hours. And you know, on the highways in the U.S., every mile there's a call box. So I just felt each call box, each phone box is a reminder to us to call on the name of the Lord. It's not for us to call on the highway patrol. It's for us to call on the Lord. So for 7 hours, I called on the name of the Lord, and this caused my person to have a big change. At that time, I thought that, oh, I need to study hard so that I can have some impact on this world, because my classmates were like this. But the Lord told me, oh, we need to turn. This way we can have the proper, the real church life, a church life in the Lord's recovery. So here we're talking about the third aspect of the Lord's recovery, the practice of the church. When I was reading through the outline, I felt we really need to see this. It's not enough for us just to practice this individually. We need to bring our companions by our individual practice, bring in the practice of the church so that we can have a lasting progress before the Lord. So our brother went through the first 3 points. Now we're on the fourth point. So let's read some. Point D, the unique church of God is expressed as many local churches throughout the whole globe. Yet they are still the unique universal body of Christ and should not be divided into sects or denominations. You know, it took me 17 years. I was in a elementary and high school that was in the denominations for 12 years. There were some pastors, there were some evangelists who came from America. They really loved the Lord. They were very desperate. At that time, I wondered, why are we not like these evangelists? Isn't it good to be the same as everyone else? But as I look more, I realize where the Lord has led us is far beyond what they have seen. So what we see here is so important. There was one time. There was someone who was famous in Christianity. They gave us a call. And he said he wanted to come to Anaheim. On Lord's Day morning, he wanted to attend our meeting and see what are we doing here. This person's name was J. Golden Milton. And his famous work was Milton's Encyclopedia of American Religion. He came and he wanted to see whether we are actual Christians or if we are a cult. And he was going to write this into his encyclopedia. He wanted to add some things. So when he came, because we wanted him to write a better, write some good things, we took him out to lunch because we were afraid he would say a lot of bad things. But that Lord's Day morning, we didn't change anything. We didn't change any practice. We just had our normal meeting. We had first the Lord's table, and then we had the prophesying meeting. And afterwards, we took him out to lunch. During this lunch, I asked him, "What is your feeling?" And he said, "This kind of meeting is so good." And because he said this, I asked him, "Why do you think there are a lot of Christians who are against this? Since you say that what we are doing is good, we're actually practicing according to what the Bible says. Why are there so many Christians that oppose us?" And then he said, "Do you not know? How do you not know?" How do you not know? You are willing to pay the price to practice what the Bible says. But a lot of Christians are not willing to do this. A lot of Christians, a lot of pastors, they pay lip service to the Bible. They say some things, but in their heart, they don't really believe it. When we say one city, one church, if they confess this, if they agree with this, then they have nothing to do because they will lose their job. They don't agree. They don't agree with one city, one church, because in one city, there needs to be many churches or else they won't have a job anymore. So I want to share these words with you. Because I'm afraid some of you will wonder, why are we different? We are different because we want to be according to what the Bible has spoken to us. Otherwise, the nature of the Lord's recovery will change. Because the impact of the denominations is really, it's easy to attract us. I have a friend who is the pastor of a church with 1,000 people. But what do we want? What we want is the Lord's recovery. So may the Lord truly have mercy on us, that we would not swerve away from this. Here, what this is saying is that the Lord's recovery is showing us that the church is the body of Christ. Don't think this is an easy thing to see. This is very hard to see. One time, Brother Lee said, seeing that the church is the church is an easier matter because the church has this matter of, has a human matter. But once we say that the church is the body of Christ, this is all together in the divine and mystical realm. We need to have the Lord's mercy to open our eyes to see that the church is the universal, unique, universal body of Christ. So here in point E, it says, among the churches, there are the apostles who set up the churches, and in every church, there are also elders who manage the church and deacons who serve the church. However, besides the order of these holy services, there should not be any hierarchy, religious organization, or systems of rank. This is also very important. There are some who think, oh, this is good, so then I don't have to do anything. I have some classmates. When we go out and travel, they try to find churches, so they'll keep calling. So I ask them, what kind of criteria are you using to decide where you'll go? And they say, oh, it's very easy. We just see who speaks the shortest and we'll go there. Otherwise, we'll fall asleep if it's too long. So they asked the church, oh, how long is your service? But today, we are not like this. They do this because they already have this decision in their being that they are the laity. They don't have a realization that they are the body of Christ. If we see that we are the body of Christ, every member needs to have a function. In the past, there were a lot of doctors who would say, oh, your appendix will have problems in the future, so let's cut it off right now. But now doctors say, oh, you can't take out the appendix. Because the appendix also has its own use. So don't think that you can just cut off the appendix. May the Lord have mercy on us, that we would realize that we are members of the body of Christ. We don't have this thought of hierarchy. The concept of hierarchy has caused so many issues in the church. With the Catholic Church, we have the Pope, the Cardinals, the Bishops, and this brought the entire church into the Dark Ages. So we need to ask the Lord to have mercy on us so that we don't also fall into such a situation. So in small one, it says, in the Catholic Church today, there is a hierarchy of the Pope, the Cardinals, the Archbishops, the Bishops, and the Priests. In the Protestant Church, there is also the systems of rank of the pastors and the common believers. 2, all these should not exist, and these practices are not scriptural. Now, point F. Although the local churches in various localities are many, they all take the eternal economy of God as their center to bear the unique testimony of Christ, not teaching any doctrine that is unrelated to the eternal economy of God and that has nothing to do with the testimony of Christ. 1, in 1 Timothy 1, Paul wanted Timothy to remain in Ephesus to charge certain ones not to teach things that were different from God's economy. This is really important. If we speak anything aside from God's economy, we will bring in division. The Bible is such a long book, and there's a line within this, which is God's economy, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. This is what we need to know. So in the matter of the revelation of God, the first point is God's eternal economy, to work himself into us, to cause us to be a God-man. And when we talk about the God-ordained way, we can't feel like we are talking about something else. We need to clearly see. First, we need to see the vision. Second, this vision shows us that we are not only man, we are God-men. Only God-men can take the God-ordained way. If we don't realize that we are God-men, we can use a lot of natural ways to preach the gospel, to do some things, to please the Lord. But what are we making in the end? What are we building? Are we building the body of Christ, or are we building an organization or another work? So may the Lord have mercy on us. That's why Paul said this. We need to read this word, read it until it's worked into our being, so that regardless of what we do, we wouldn't speak anything apart from God's economy. We may keep feeling, oh, we need to find some new speaking that no one has spoken before. Maybe we'll speak some things that aren't even mentioned in the Bible. Let me confess to you all. Because I had the opportunity to fellowship with Brother Lee a lot, I would hope sometimes he would fellowship with me something he hadn't fellowshiped with everyone else before. So I would ask him some questions and see if he would answer them, but he just wouldn't answer them. So I won't say too much beyond this. If I ask those questions right now, then you might all enter into your mind. So in small two, in the practice of the church, we should not teach any doctrine that is unrelated to God's economy and has nothing to do with the testimony of Christ. If we do this, this will cause division. This is a huge sin. Our brother talked about Jeroboam just now. This is the sin of Jeroboam is such a large sin, because he split the kingdom of Israel into two parts, the northern and the southern part. This is a huge sin. Today, regardless of what we do, we need to remember, no matter what, we cannot cause division. May the Lord have mercy on us. Point G, in these local churches, there should be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit as the reality of the kingdom of God. Here, we see that not only are we in the house of God, but we are also in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there's righteousness. Only if we have this righteousness can we have this peace. And when we have this peace, we can also enjoy the joy in the Holy Spirit. Small one says, the kingdom of God is the sphere in which God exercises his authority so that he may express his glory for the fulfillment of his purpose. Small two, in such a kingdom, what matters is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't think that our church life, in our church, it's all about love feasts. This is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Small a, righteousness denotes that which is right and proper. Those who live in the kingdom of God should be right and proper towards other, towards things, and towards God. With them, there should be nothing erroneous, improper, crooked, slanted, or biased. B, this requires that they should be strict in dealing with themselves. We should not ignore this point. I guess a lot of times I think we like to avoid mentioning this point. C, peace is the fruit of righteousness. It characterizes the relationship that those who live in the kingdom of God should have with others and with God. If we are righteousness, right, and proper towards others, towards things, and towards God, we will have a peaceful relationship with others and with God. D, thus, we will have joy in the Holy Spirit, in particular before God. In this way, we will be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit, and will live out righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which are the reality of the kingdom of God. In Acts 13:52, it says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In E, it says, this proves that the normal church life is the kingdom of God on the earth today. So now we come to Roman numeral 2. It says, in conclusion, the Lord's recovery has not only the revelation of God, but also the God-man life. And the God-man life requires a proper practice of the church. A says, we cannot say that in the church, everyone is a God-man and overcomers. We can't say this.
We cannot say that in the church everyone is a God-man and overcomer. But we can say that in the church, the opportunity for us to be a God-man is greater. And it is easier for to be an overcomer. This is because in the Lord's recovery, every local church is daily nurturing us to be overcomers, to be God-men. Let's read these 2 points again, A and B. We cannot say that in the church, everyone is a God-man, an overcomer. But we can say that in the church, the opportunity for us to be a God-man is greater. And it is easier to be an overcomer. This is because in the Lord's recovery, every local church is daily nurturing us to be overcomers, to be God-men. Okay. I want to add one more point. I received a lot from these words from Brother Lee. In 1995, after he spoke of these words, one time at the FTTA graduation, he came to speak a bit. So this was also in 95, around June. And this word truly has helped me. This brings us from Revelation, God, man, living, and the matter of the practice of the church. This is kind of a concluding word. So I'll just read Brother Lee's words. He says, never forget. Because a lot of things, the things that we should forget, we don't forget. And the things that we shouldn't forget, we forget. So he keeps emphasizing this. Never forget. So as we are coming to the end of this training, I want to read these 8 points as a concluding word. One, the triune God's eternal economy is to produce and build up the body of Christ, consummating in a new Jerusalem as his heart's desire and goal. Because this is his heart's desire and ultimate goal, we need to be captured by this. Number two, the triune God has redeemed, regenerated us for us to accomplish his eternal economy. God, from eternity past until today, has spent so much, has done so much, in order for us to become God-men and to accomplish his eternal economy. Number three, the God-men should, by the power of resurrection, forsake the self in order to live Christ and magnify Christ, and also work and be one with Christ according to the bountiful supply to carry out his eternal economy. On the negative side, this is to crucify the old man and the flesh. And this can only be done by the power of his resurrection. On the positive side, we need to live Christ and express Christ, magnify him. This is not by ourselves, but by the all-inclusive, the bountiful supply of the all-inclusive Spirit. By the power of resurrection, we can crucify the self and live a life of being conformed to the death of Christ. By the bountiful supply of the Spirit to accomplish God's eternal economy. Isn't this great? If you have some feeling, you can say amen. Point four. You did not receive this training to become an evangelist, but to be an overcomer, to overcome sin, death, the situations around you, persecutions, and even Christianity. And even to give up your life as the price. Brother Ni live this kind of living. And by the Lord's mercy, I can give this testimony that by his mercy, I have also lived such a life. The first thing we need to overcome is sin. And the last thing we need to overcome is the practices of religion. Number five, we need to attain to maturity. We need to grow and then grow more, striving, laboring until we are mature. Number 6, we need to function to produce the body of Christ by nourishing the young and the old believers to build up the body of Christ. This is our portion. This is our commission. No matter where we go, we need to make sinners members of the body of Christ. We need to cherish and nourish and perfect them and equip them in order to build up the body of Christ. And then number 7, we should know that in our working for the body of Christ, aside from what the New Testament has shown us concerning the God's revelation of the eternal economy, we should not know anything else about our opinions and thoughts. I have so much to do, I don't even have any time to consider my opinions. I know Brother Nee was like this. We just need to work day and night. We don't have time to consider, to take care of our opinions. And then number 8, we need to pay the price to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Do not forget that one day we will be before the judgment seat of Christ. Brother Nee was the seer of the divine revelation in the present age. And here, he used this hymn, Chinese 6468. Every day I am looking I have before my eyes the judgment, the light of the judgment seat of Christ, so that all of my work, my living, all of these things will be recompensed in that day. It's not enough just for us to love the Lord. We need to fear God. One day, we will see him face to face. How will we give account to him in that day? When others come to argue with me, I think, man, if you speak in this way, in that day, will you be able to pass through the judgment seat of Christ? So this is why no one has ever seen either me nor Brother Nee argue with others. You need to remember the first thing is God's eternal economy. And you also need to remember the last thing is the judgment seat of Christ. Between these two, there are many wonderful things in the middle. So Brother Lee says in the middle. Here, Brother Lee says, may the Lord's bountiful grace be with you from the day that you've graduated until the Lord appears as the righteous sun, as the morning star. This is my hope. His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is overflowing, multiplying. You may run in, no matter what situations, difficulties you run into, you need to bring it before the Lord. Remind the Lord. Lord, I want to remind you. You promised me your grace is sufficient. I depend on your grace. May the Lord's abundant, overflowing grace be with you until the day he appears to us, not as the sun, but as the morning star. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.